So one other question, and then we can maybe go through your cases and getting back to patients with targetable mutations. We were talking about HER2. How do you approach right now the integration of checkpoint inhibitors into the sequence of therapy of metastatic disease in patients with targetable mutations, not just EGFR and ALK, but the less common ones, including RET and HER2?
So that's a really important question, and I think it's one that community oncologists need to really be hearing and thinking about. I always emphasize that if a true driving mutation is found, whether it's ALK, whether it's EGFR, whether it's ROS1, whether it's one of those others, that is a much more critical pathway to be thinking about than immune checkpoint inhibition. And to remind people that if you look in the details of the first line trials that looked at checkpoint inhibitors versus chemo, patients with known driver mutations were excluded, so they're not in that group.
Could I just clarify, you said known driver mutations. Is that the case, or was it just ALK and EGFR?
They just looked at ALK and EGFR, but from my perspective, the other drivers, especially like HER2, those are going to be similar biology. And to me, those patients are much less likely to respond and really should get their targeted, or they should get chemotherapy if it's not EGFR and ALK. They should get the targeted drug if they're EGFR and ALK. I think we still have a bit of a gray zone for RET and MET and some of these others that, you know, you're asking about. We don't really know, but it really kind of depends on the patient there. And PD-L1 is not the full story. I think we've all learned the story with pembrolizumab that if you have greater than or equal to 50% TPS on the 22C3 assay for PD-L1, that those patients should get pembrolizumab as a single agent first line and then later can go on to other treatments. And I think when you don't have a driver mutation, if it's sort of a classic lung cancer patient, that makes sense. But when I'm seeing a young patient who doesn't have a heavy smoking history, the PD-L1 level to me is not nearly as relevant because there are other factors besides PD-L1 like tumor mutation burden, total mutation burden, and a lot of other factors that we probably don't even have names for yet that play a role. And so when I have a patient like that, and I've actually had a number of them recently who comes in, they got their PD-L1 level back, but we don't have their mutation status back. I am absolutely not rushing to start them on pembrolizumab. I'm retesting, looking until I'm convinced that we know that their mutation status is not having a driver mutation. And even then in that group, the young never smokers, they're the ones I think more about maybe this combination of chemo plus checkpoint inhibitor as opposed to checkpoint inhibitor alone. That's the only subgroup I'm really thinking about it in. But then my practice is a bit unusual, and those are my patients. And I know a lot of other folks in practice don't see patients with lung cancer who fit that demographic as much. So getting back to your question about, well, okay, patient has a known driver mutation. Where do we fit in with these checkpoint drugs? PD-L1 level to me isn't as relevant in that setting. If they're EGFR ALK, I'm going to start on EGFR ALK therapy. And now I'm going to give them a second line of EGFR and ALK therapy or ALK therapy because we know that we have those drugs now. And then third line, I'm probably going to go with chemo because chemotherapy works really well in that group of patients. And each time we're adding on more treatments, we know that the complexity of the tumor is probably increasing, and therefore theoretically increasing the likelihood of having a response to a checkpoint drug because it's not just the PD-L1. When we get to a fourth line, I'm usually going to, you know, think about a checkpoint drug at that point or look for a trial. The data so far of combination tyrosine kinase drugs plus checkpoint drugs has been a little bit of a cautionary tale. We've not seen a lot of data. What we've seen has mostly been some toxicity warnings. And so I don't do that off trial, but I think it's important that we continue to explore that on trial. So to kind of simplify it, first line, if there's EGFR ALK, I don't go with checkpoint drugs. Second line, I still stick with the targeted. Third line, I usually do chemo. Fourth line, I absolutely will try the checkpoint drugs. And I have seen a few patients with benefit in the EGFR setting. I haven't yet in ALK, but I don't think that means it doesn't work. What I have noticed, though, is a lot of the ALK patients do have high PD-L1. So if it's first line and I get a high PD-L1 and it's someone I'm worried about likely has a driver mutation, I don't just look at that PD-L1 and run with it. I double check the ALK and other status. Just I actually got a result back today on a patient who I saw a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago now who came in, had high PD-L1. She was 45, never smoker. She had pericardial metastases and brain metastases. And I looked at her and I'm like, you probably have ALK. We need to wait and retest this. because the first FISH test was negative. We got a blood test. It didn't give us an answer. Repeat biopsy. And I just found out yesterday she does have indeed an ALK translocation. So she's going to start on alectinib and I think is going to do much better with that approach than she would with either chemo or starting with a checkpoint inhibitor.
That's interesting. How did you pick up the ALK if she was FISH negative?
We repeated the biopsy. We did it. You know, none of our tests are perfect. So if you've got a high enough pretest probability, you've got to repeat those tests.
Repeat FISH.
Yeah, it was a repeat FISH in her case. We'll usually go to NGS at that point.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you. I have heard cases that were, quote, FISH negative, NGS positive. Have you seen that?
Yep. Definitely have some of those. This was a patient I was co-managing with an outside facility. So if it was at my facility, I would have done NGS at that point.
Interesting.